Good morning, radio friends. Once again, we have the blessed privilege of coming your way in the name of Jesus Christ by the means of radio to the Word of Truth, and we hope and trust the thoughts today will be a blessing to us as we study God's Word together. This program is sponsored by the Church of God of Resurrection Hope, a Church of God of Abrahamic Faith. We're located in Lenora on the Walnut Road, and our services are Sunday school each Sunday morning, 9:30, morning worship service, 10:30, evening message at 7 o'clock each Sunday evening, Lenora, North Carolina, Walt Arney Road. Modern theology has become instrumental in denying some of the things the Lord proclaimed. We quote our Lord and ask you to judge whether or not he and his disciples knew what they were doing 2,000 years ago. Did they know what they were teaching? Jesus gave the great commission to the church. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Today, we find that many have decided that Jesus made a mistake. He should have said, he that believes shall be saved, and leave doubt is baptized. I read in Revelation 22:19, if any man shall take away from the words of the book, the result will be very dangerous. Jesus said these words, and I believe them, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now in Matthew 28:19, Jesus told his disciples, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Now, did our Lord say baptize them or not? That's the way it's written. Will we take away from the words which he spoke and make our theology bring people into God's church without baptism? Will we declare men are saved without being baptized, that baptism is a waste of time and energy? If baptism is of no value, then why was Jesus our Lord baptized? Was he just having fun? Are making a mock of what John was doing? Let the scribes and elders answer the question which Jesus put to the Pharisees long ago. The baptism of John, was it from heaven? Think it over. Where did baptism come from? Was it of God or the devil? Ephesians 4 and 5, we find there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Immediately one goes to this thought from the Word of God, Luke 3:16. John said, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh. The latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Thus some insist that the only one baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is the one baptism that saves. When Jesus came to be baptized as John, was he baptized that he might wash away our sins? If so, he would not needed to have went to the cross to die for us. Was he in any way baptized for us? No. In Acts 1 and 5, Jesus said, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Back to Ephesians 4 and 4, we find there is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. There's a lot of ones here. One body, one Spirit, even as you're called, one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who's above all. There are many bodies in the world, but the only one body of which we can become a member, whereby we are saved, is the Church of the Living God. We could say in this time of politics that there's the Republican body and Democrat body and many bodies of man-made organizations, but the body of Christ is the Church called out of the world by the Lord. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, since there's one baptism, let's do away with water baptism, as is contended, whether it be of heaven or not. Let us only contend for the Holy Ghost baptism, the Holy Spirit baptism. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, Jesus said to the disciples at the time of his ascension. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, 2 days after the day of Pentecost came, we all know the Holy Spirit came and a great Pentecostal power was poured out. And they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now let's note this carefully. These spake as the Spirit gave them utterance, so that we may know that whatsoever uttered was from the Spirit from heaven. As Peter preached by the power of the Spirit, the people were convicted of their sins and pricked in their hearts. They asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, what shall we do? Now you listen to the answer that Peter gave. He said, repent and be baptized. What? Repent and be baptized? How many of them? Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. Now if the baptism itself was of the Holy Spirit baptism. They'd already received it, but he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, remember that Peter was speaking as the Spirit gave him utterance, and he would not have had to say, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, if the baptism was the receiving of the Holy Spirit. For if they repented and were baptized with the Holy Spirit, they would have already received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we find the results were, they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day was added into them about 3,000 souls. How foolish were those 3,000 if modern theology is right. Pentecost is past and over with, and we find Philip being sent of the Lord aboard the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip opened his mouth and preached to the eunuch Jesus, and as he preached our Lord to him, they came to a certain water. Now the eunuch said, see, here is water. Now what does hinder me to be baptized? Now I suppose Philip was rather embarrassed. He was caught here with a man he was preaching to, who upon seeing water was asking, what hinders me to be baptized, for here is water. If modern theology is right, Philip should have said, which he didn't, oh, we don't use water anymore. That's past. It's no good. You only need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But Philip said, if thou believest all thine heart, thou mayest. Now, was it how? Was he baptized now in water and spirit? Let's listen to it. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So they commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down, both of them, into what? Why, the water. And Philip baptized the eunuch. Now, when they were come up out of the water, the Bible says, common sense, reason, and logic will tell us if baptism was not necessary, then the preacher of God and the eunuch were wasting God's time and theirs too. Stopping that chariot and going down into the water and coming up out of the water. But since the Spirit was in charge, I'm sure it was of heaven and God sent that it be done this way. When Paul was blinded on the road to Damascus, the Lord told him, arise, go into the city. It shall be told thee what thou must do. Now remember, it is to be told Paul what he must do. And the Lord sent Ananias, and he went to tell Paul what he must do. And let's hear what Ananias told him. He says, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldst know his will, and see the just one to hear the voice of his mouth, but thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou, or what needest thou for further waiting? Now what is he told to do? Hear the word of the Lord. Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 9:18, we find forthwith Paul arose and was baptized. Rather foolish if there's nothing to it. Now Peter, the spokesman on the day of Pentecost, speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit, went to the home of Cornelius the Gentile and preached Jesus Christ to those Gentile people, and the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now how do I know that? Peter said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? Now they received it just as well as Paul, or as well as Peter had. And he wants to know if any man can forbid water that these should not be baptized. Now, if he's talking about the Holy Ghost baptism, certainly he wouldn't be talking about water. And Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. They already received the Holy Spirit, just as Peter had, as well as we, he said. And that meant that they just got as good a baptism with the Holy Spirit as he had. Then he asked, can any man forbid water? I remind you this, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we. He did not say perhaps or maybe it would be a good idea or a thought for them to be baptized, but rather he commanded them to be baptized. Now, recapping this before the brethren in Jerusalem who charged Peter of going into the uncircumcised, Peter expounded it, and he said, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believe, don't you notice it's just the same gift exactly, and gave it to them just the same way. He says, well, who was I, or what was I, that I could withstand God? No need to fight against God. 19th chapter of Acts, we find the people in the upper coast of Ephesus were confronted by Paul at Apostle, he asked him, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? They said, why, we've not even heard. If there be so much as anything, call the Holy Spirit. Acts 19:5, the result of their meeting when they heard this was after the Paul had talked to them, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, what were they baptized with? The Holy Spirit? If so, then the next verse would not be needed at all. But the next verse says, and it says after they was baptized, when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them. This was after they were baptized in the name of Jesus. When Paul and Silas was in prison, the jailer asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The jailer took these men the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his house straightway. Why did these beaten men of God baptize the jailer? Because when God made promise to Abraham, because God could swear by no greater, he sware by himself by two immutable things, which is impossible for God to lie or to die, that he would perform the promise that he made to Abraham. That was God's signature, or his seal, to the contract that he made with Abraham that he would perform his promise. Now, one signature is just a half a contract and is not valid, not any good, isn't legal till the two parties have signed it. Now, Abraham received the seal of the contract, which was circumcision. He was circumcised, he and all the males of his household, to set to his seal and make his signature to the contract that he was in agreement with God and believed God and had entered into this contract with God that God might fulfill the promises. Now, and so we find that today the signature of God is the pouring out of his Holy Spirit in your heart, for his Spirit bears witness with our spirit, you see. The signature of the believer is his confessing the Lord before the world and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Instead of the way Abraham said to his seal by circumcision, for females cannot be circumcised, and there's neither male nor female in Christ, and so we come to baptism as the way of signature, the way of sealing our contract with God. Now, on the day of Pentecost, the Jews were the first to sign the contract by being baptized, and then God gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, and this was God signing the contract of salvation with them. Now, at the home of Cornelius, it was just the opposite. The people there received the Holy Spirit first. God signed the contract in their heart, and then the people, when as soon as they signed it, it became valid. So Peter commanded that they be baptized with water. Now, both of these signatures constitute one baptism. Years later, Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 6:3. He says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were..." And the margin reads, "As many of us as are baptized into Jesus Christ are baptized into his death." If you're consecrated unto Jesus Christ, then you must be baptized into his death. How? Romans 6:4, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death." Now the two baptisms take the two signatures and they constitute one contract before God Almighty. And we hope and trust these thoughts enlighten you today and help you to better understand baptism in the Lord. Heavenly Father, take these thoughts today, draw us all closer to thee, and give us wisdom and understanding we may serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.